when he can't say shit. My hatred is few, just give me a sign, and I let the world know that the city is mine. What?
Hey guys, how you doing? This is Deshaun Woods of your City of Coaches podcast. Yes, City of Coaches podcast, back at you with another episode. How you guys been? I know it's been a little while. First and foremost, I want to plug the new spinoff of the City of Coaches podcast, City of Coaches Vlogs. You can go to Coach D.L. Woods Vlogs on YouTube, or you can just look me up, Deshaun Woods, on YouTube to look at the vlog selection. My first interview was back in Ohio with Coach Gaines over at Southern State Community College. It's actually Coach, me and Coach have a long history of friendship as well. That's where I got my college coaching experience from. It was over at Southern State. So shout out to Coach Gaines at Southern State Community College. Shout out to Ohio. I had a good time. Was in Ohio for about 8 days. The beginning of this month, so that was a good time. I got to see a lot of people, got to see a lot of friends, got to see a lot of former associates, you name it. It was a good time. The weather was nice breeze, a little bit different from Arizona. You know, we're just now getting to the cool weather, so I'm kind of excited. 7 o'clock in the morning, nice breeze, you know for right now. Then I think we'll get down to the 80s within the next month or so, but it's all good. So Ohio just gave me a little different. Summertime, I got to interview Coach Gaines, like I said, as well. I set up some further interviews when I go back, when I start my vlog tour. So please pay attention. Please subscribe if you haven't subscribed already to my YouTube channel. As some of my content already, but now I'm going to start posting interviews. So as well as you'll have the podcast version of me, and also you'll have the vlog version of me. So hopefully they can coincide together. Eventually, I'll probably just go ahead and start uploading the audio, the video as an audio as well. So it just combined, next up, interviewing Coach Jones over at Tucson High School, which is in obviously Tucson, Arizona. So I'm excited to get with Coach Jones. And now that vlog be posted a couple of days after the interview has been completed. So I'm very excited about that. All right, so that's not what y'all here about for me to plug. So let's go forward. All right, so check this out. One of the coolest things happened last night, all right, that made me want to start posting. A little bit of professional basketball has started. And guess what? It wasn't here in the U.S., it was in Australia. Remember I was talking about a couple episodes ago, the National Basketball League, which is the national league in Australia. I told you it's gaining a lot of ground. It has a few former college or pro athletes over there. My phone's going off crazy. I'm sorry. A few former college athletes and pros over there. And so that was exciting to – it's going to be big. Like I said, the people need to pay attention. They got a lot of scrimmages coming up, exposition games coming up against NBA teams. And I think Lonzo Ball's over there. Not Lonzo, sorry. Whew, I'm getting confused. I really like this kid, LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball's over there as well. What's the kid? RJ Hampton. And I think the one kid played at Florida. I don't have his name, but they're doing really well over there. And it shows it's probably going to be the next step. And it's probably going to pull a lot of these college kids. Kids that were predominantly usually go to Division I schools are probably going to play professional overseas. If this next gen situation go over there, where they just go ahead and gravitate to kids who are freshly out of school, freshly out of high school, or probably in JUCO, and bring them on, get them professional experience, get them their long combine, and get them ready to go to the NBA. I don't know. What happens is usually, you know, when the situation gets popular enough, the bigger institution end up buying them out, right? So speaking of people going from small institutions, shout out to ISO Joe Johnson. I'm good. Back to the ball boy, but yeah, what happened? Remember they said, oh, people go to the big three. That's a dumb decision. I can't believe people want to make a decision, go to the big three. What is wrong with people? And guess what? By his third season, they already got a player who probably wasn't going to get another offer from many teams anymore. He played in his first season. He ended up leading the league in scoring, leading his team to a championship in his first season there as well. He got picked up by Detroit Pistons to play another chance to play in the NBA. That is such big for Ice Cube in that lead or whoever else is running that organization. And shout out to the players that probably are not going to reap the benefit of these. The NBA is actually looking into them, but that's how it always is. So shout out to our first year players who helped organize and play when no one else was paying attention or showing love. It just shows, or even the second year players, it just shows that, you know, it's going to get bigger and bigger, and it might be competition. Hopefully, Ice Cube doesn't sell out to the NBA and just let it be. It wouldn't make any sense. It needs to be separate, but it's still a good look for Joe Johnson. So I'm excited to see what he do with Detroit over there with Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin. Who does he got? So I'm a Drummond still over there. I'm not sure, but let's see what Detroit does with Joe Johnson. See if he gets some playing time over there. So shout out to Joe Johnson, getting another chance to be in the NBA at least one more season, and hopefully more come. Right. So back to this. So I watched the first time I watched the Ball brother play over there. He's playing against the number one team, the Melbourne United, over Australia. They blew him out. I didn't know that the Hawks that LaMelo plays on was the worst team in the league. But honestly, they're going to get better, obviously. I watched, three games yesterday, late in the middle of the night. It was like 1 in the morning my time, Cali District. And honestly, I'm excited to see what the boy does, him and RJ Hampton. I'm excited to see what they do over there in Australia. So if you haven't been glued on, get the NBL lead app on your phone. Make sure you pay attention to their website on Instagram and such like that. They're doing really good at marketing their players and such like that. So it's a good league. It's a good situation all around, right? It's only because, and we get into the second topic, you know, everyone knows me. My first year was at an HBCU, right? And you know, I love Wiley College to death. And it was honestly, it changed my life because I was a kid in Ohio, got on a Greyhound with $20 in my pocket, literally had $20 in my pocket. Had $20 in my pocket and got on a Greyhound and got to go to college and play basketball at school. And it was the best experience. I literally didn't fall in love with it while I was there. That's how it is. We always love things after it's over with. That's just the way it goes because we don't appreciate things as people. And honestly, I was having a conversation. This girl I know, this woman I know, her son's probably one of the top kids in Ohio basketball right now, point guard. And he's getting offers from all kinds of schools as a sophomore. He just about to go into a sophomore year. And the thing is, even though he's getting offers, she takes a point to highlight the HBCUs that are offering. So I asked her, I said, why are you doing that? She's like, because if my son doesn't go, parents and people can see that these schools are offering my son, so they probably can go. I'm not worrying out my son from going to HBCU. He might find one he might actually love, but I just want to show the interest. It's going to help my play. And I was like, why? Because she went to HBCU, and she played basketball at HBCU, so it makes sense. And, you know, there was a situation with what's his name? Ooh, Lord. God, Andre Iguodala. Lord, I probably butchered his name. I'm so sorry, Andre. He had a book coming out, and he did an interview, and they never highlighted the point in the interview where he was saying it would take one top-tier class to change the rule of history. Not the rule of history, but the history. If you take the top-tier class and predominantly black athletes, and they would go and play at HBCU, it would open up so many doors financially for these schools, and it will open up so many doors for other athletes who probably were on the fence that are willing to sit the bench and never play at a big school when they can go to a smaller school and play all day long. People overlook that for whatever political reasons, right? And now they're talking about it with football. There's an ESPN special going on right now where it basically highlights the history of football and how, you know, segregation and such things like that. And I want to let you know, this is not one of the podcasts, you know, we're not talking. We're talking about doing different routes, right? The right now, the traditional route is bust your butt, maybe get Division I offer. And it's unfortunate because kids really have the idea that D1 or nothing. D1 or nothing. Can you believe that? Out of all 400, there's going to be 400 kids going to D1. Out of 4,000 institutions, 400 kids are probably going to be going to D1. Right? And I think 40 of them is going to be drafted into NBA after maybe one or two good seasons at a school. All right? There's so many institutions that kids can go to. But the kids will literally go, just not go to school at all because they didn't go D1. Right? If they go in D1, they don't want to go to the right D1. No, there's no such thing as a right or wrong D1. So I'm getting context of why I'm even talking about HBCUs, right? Because for the regular listener, they're probably not seeing the consideration. But the fact is, there are schools that's offering Division I scholarships or Division II scholarships. They may not be the biggest school, but guess what? You don't want your kids going back home. As a college coach and as a former player, I can tell you right now, there's out of a roster of 10 kids, 7 of them not going to be on the roster the next following season. Do you understand that? I was just having a conversation with, like I said, Coach Gaines over down at Southern State in Ohio. It was in a situation that's unfortunate, the high turnover rate, because after that first year, some kids don't even make it to the first after the first year, right? Because, oh, it's not what they thought, whatever it may be. But they have these issues, right? So we need to start being considerate and finding kids to go to schools that's best for them, all right? And putting the money in schools that's going to be best for them, right? Because if you're good, and a lot of NFL players can show you that. There's a lot of NFL players who go in the sixth round that probably played at Tuscaloosa and Delta. What school did Jerry Rice went to? Or Delta University. These small schools. If you're good enough or you're good enough at the right time, they don't care what school you went to. And we need to think about that. The money needs to be spread. Kids are fighting to go be the bench man on Duke University. Right? Could you imagine going to a college, being a man, and then next thing you know, the group of 5 kids decide they want to come to your school, and you have been starting at that school, and you go straight to the bench because they're the marquee kids, and you already put in a year or two at that college, and you get sent to the bench because of popularity reasons, because he wanted to go and he wanted to go. So the coach got to make room for these 5 freshmen. They're literally not going to be there the following year. And guess what? You're going to be there? No, it's not the same. That's why we need to go ahead and let these kids. That's why we need to go ahead and let these kids, you know, go straight to the league. Go straight to the league. That's what I'm saying. That's the biggest thing. So we got to make sure that kids are seeing that we're in an open space, and you just need to make a better decision for you. There's a lot of situations where, especially with my experience that I talk to, and I'm not under any regulations because I'm a free agent. I don't work for anyone anymore. I'm not part of any institution. So a lot of college athletes call me for advice and stuff, and I'm still having the same conversation where it's like, yeah, you're unhappy. Find somewhere that you're going to be happy at, right? So it's just better for kids to just open their horizons and see what they can do. And even in football, and like I said, now in football, a lot of players are have the same consideration, right? Your schools are making tons and tons and tons of money. Go somewhere else that you know you're going to play for real, right? Go somewhere that you're going to really have a chance to really make a difference. You're not going to get the love. A lot of kids, they want the love and the acquisition, and they want all the love, and then they realize that they're going to just another number. Why? Because you decided to go to the school that's drafted, that's had seven or nine draft picks every year. So you're just a number. if you want to be loved and you want to be, you know, moralized, you need to go to a school, that maybe a smaller school, where the 4 years there is really going to matter, right? That's what I'm saying. It's not necessarily saying that you're lowering your standards, but what you want, you really want to stand out, go somewhere else, and you can help them, that school out, and that school's pretty, you're probably going to have a job forever. You know, that's who school's going to look out for you when your career is over. They might even hire you as a head coach. Who never knows? That's just the way it goes. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. But if you go to where everyone else goes, there's not enough positions in the world they're going to give to you, right? And this is the way it is. So that was the argument and the conversation. We want our kids to stay in the college. We want our kids to make the right, the best decision they can make. And we also want to make sure that if, you know, spread these funds around to help out a lot of institutions that may need it, right? You're not doing, I mean, even though I'm not trying to brag on Ohio State, but there's nothing you, Ohio State has enough money. You don't need to go to Ohio State. Michigan has enough money. You don't need to go there. USC has enough money. Oh my God, Alabama has retarded money. Of course, you're going to be just a number at Alabama. They're in the national championship every year. They literally can go undefeated and be in the national championship, or at least being in this case, being the playoffs, right? Pick some other schools. Get some. You guys are banding. You young athletes are banding together. Pick some other schools. It's not even that. Let's talk about the kid. Just talk about the kids who not getting the looks. You know, not getting the looks from schools as they want. Y'all literally can go. You can go get yourself recruited. Why? Because I was a college coach. We would get calls. We would get emails from kids from nine states away, eight states away. That would email us, hey, coach, I want to get a chance. Get yourself recruited. Get yourself on the email list. Go fill out a recruiting paper and get yourself recruited. Make these coaches come find you if they're not coming to look for you. Because I'm telling you, I'd rather go look for your dream or go look for the best opportunity. Some opportunities don't present themselves. You got to make them appear. And you got to put yourself, you know, preparation puts you in the best position. Repetition puts you in the best position. So, young athlete, if you're in school and you're upset right now, and you're not happy with your situation, find your exit. All right? If you're a young athlete, you're not getting the recruits, your parents are spending all this money, put you on these camps, it's because it wasn't meant for you. What you need to do is get your little video clip and send out your own video. Email. You ain't got to send an email to say, hey, coach, I play so-and-so. Can I have a workout? Ain't no coach is going to say no if they need you. You need to go where you need it, not where you want to go. Right? So that's my segment right there on that. You know, just be more, you know, any young athletes who are listening to this or any parents that have young athletes are struggling with probably getting recruited or at the school that they thought they wanted, didn't work out, move around. There's tons of school. Remember, at the end of the day, you're in school, you know, if you're an athlete, you're in school, you know, and the education comes first. So literally you're there to help pay for this high expensive education so you're not 70 years old paying $80,000 interest on a $20,000 loan you got when you were 20 years old. But we're not going to talk about that here because this is a sports podcast, right? So, all right. So check it out. And like I said, if you want more details of talking to a coach who may have those type of experience about players, stuff like that, go to my YouTube channel and check out the first episode and beware for a future. So make sure you push that bell so you have a knowledge or any future posts or anything like that. All right. So we talked about this is hurtful. Cause I never thought I want to talk about Lonzo Ball and the big ball. So it's hard to talk about this, but we got to talk about it. Let's talk about the Ball family. A couple of years ago, I think on my premiere episode, I talked about the Ball family. I'm wishing the best for the Ball family work out. Unfortunately, it seems like a lot of situations happen business-wise and may be affecting certain situations, certain relationships. I know, you know, let's pray for Jello. You know, Jello Ball is the one that I really like the most because the boy, he's the shortest, but he can shoot. He just wants to play. He just wants to play. He just wants the opportunity to play. But a lot of things are happening to keep him from getting on the court, ankle issues, or just whatever shadowing him. It looks like, you know, he might have to go a different route playing-wise. And I'm just praying that he'll find a situation for him that will at least keep him playing the game that he loves and create his own revenue and finances, something like that. So let's pray for Jello Ball. All right, Lonzo Ball, you know, we got traded to New Orleans. I'm very excited for New Orleans. They got Zion Williams. They got the kid over there from UT that's actually from Cincinnati. So excited about him. Who else they got over there? They got Alexandria. So they got a couple players. They got young players. They got, you know, they still got Holiday over there. They got which is Josh Hart as well. So we'll see what happens over there. But, you know, the biggest thing situation is making sure that Lonzo plays up to his full potential. I know he's recovering from ankle surgery and such like that. So we're praying for that situation. So speaking about the family, I was just watching the episode of Ball and the Family. People don't understand why black men in America, we see this. We never really have opportunities to see the type of father, you know, and say it was exciting to see this. And I'm still not over here about to jump off the wagon or the Ball family, because it's still cool to see a father who loves his kids enough to put them in through sports and basically guide them into being professionals. Doesn't mean they're going to be around forever for that, because people fall out, right? But also in the same situation, it is very positive to see that, you know, they're able to be successful. I understand that the brand is going through issues. Every young kid smells himself. You get that certain age where you start feeling like you're an adult, especially if you're paying bills, and then you don't be so submissive. So you have that challenge. So it's really good to see, you know, LeVar Ball and Lonzo Ball have their friction, because it really shows that every kid starting to feel independence, and they start to feel what they want to do, and they start having their own opinions and views. And it shows that a father still wants to have control. Hey, no matter what, I still have to own it. But then the father has to realize, oh, God, he's a grown man. He's starting to do his own thing. So it's exciting. So I'm excited to still see how they work that out, because family always work it out at the end of the day. I understand that he's not, all three of the kids are not wearing the brand anymore. So that might hurt the brand a little bit. But it's still exciting. Like I said, what happens is a lot of people disrupt the norm. And they may not benefit from the disruption. But you plant a seed, and a lot of people, there's been a lot of people who plant a lot of seeds who have not benefited from the seed. And I feel like Lonzo LeVar Ball has planted a seed that he may not, and his family may not benefit from, but down the line, there's going to be another family like them. It's probably going to do it a little bit different, but we all know who's going to come from, right? The man got his son to be the number two pick in the NBA draft. He got his son to be able to stay local. Right, his personality got him there. I can't say Lonzo Ball's talent got him there. I really feel like his father helped with his personality and popularity, helped Lonzo get there. Lonzo's one of the best players in that draft. I don't necessarily know, without LeVar Ball, he would have been a second pick. I don't think so. And honestly, with this whole New Orleans thing, and they're not expected to win right away, you're not playing with LeBron James, and you're not expected you'll be able to grow into the player you are. A lot of players got to get a chance to grow into who they are. Playing with the best player, with the most best player in the NBA, or you'll say players expected to win the most in the NBA, or your second season, it's definitely not an easy route for you. So we're excited to see what happens down in New Orleans. What else happened to NBA, Lewis? I'm trying to hold off on the NBA because it's really not going on right now. I know the Clippers, I know Doc Rivers is starting to talk more about how he got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. So I don't know. I mean, a lot of people saying that Clippers – and the Lakers. I just feel like there's another team that were Denver. I feel like Portland might do some damage a little bit. So we'll see. I mean, the NBA is wide open. You know, I want Brooklyn, but I know KD's hurt. KD came out and, you know, said that he did what we all thought. He wasn't getting the love and recognition that he thought he was going to get joining the team. Part of me says, who cares? Part of me understands. Like, literally, I feel like he did carry them for two championships, right? They may have won their one championship without him, but the fact that they lost a championship after going 73-9 in the regular season and walking through the playoffs, well, not really walking through the playoffs, and they still lost. And then you lost, and then you went and got the second best, at the time, second best player in the NBA. And then he literally walks y'all through the championship for two straight championships. People say it's a bandwagon, but I really feel like he held it. He basically helped build the Chase Center, which is kind of cool. You got to look that up. YouTube, the new Chase Center, the Warriors' new stadium in Santa Cruz, San Francisco area. I know that's where the 49ers are at, too, so they're, like, doing a lot in that area. Chase Center is really, really good. And you can look up the more details about the Chase Center. But, yeah, but back to the Warriors. I mean, the Warriors might be in a situation to get Giannis in a couple of years. Whew. I mean, once you have a Steph Curry and you have a supportive organization and a head coach that's loved by the organization. Speaking of head coach, I think Steve Kerr gives you the right. You know, we love Mark Jackson, right? We think Mark Jackson is a great coach. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're the right coach for that place. It doesn't mean you're a bad coach. I can speak on this, you know, my own personal experience in coaching. There were some schools I worked at, whether high school or college, that it hit right away. The first high school I ever as a head coach won the city championship. Well, you know, our conference championship. So, and my friend, 27 years old, head coach, varsity head coach. So it statistically was showed that I wasn't supposed to be there or be expected to win right away. But we gelled and worked, right? We made it about basketball, right? And we made it about teamwork, right? And you have that, right? And the schools prior, I was assistant coach. So necessarily me being the head, but, you know, and it was kids from similar backgrounds where I was from. And then going to a place where, you know, statistically shows I probably wouldn't ride past that area unless I was lost. And we won, right? And then go to the college, the same situation. Like, I'm familiar, and, you know, and we had a good season. We had a couple good seasons. Had one bad season, rather, and I feel like that was more on our players. Not was our players per se, but our player count. You know, was players. I remember saying as a college coach, you have situations. You start the season with 10 kids, and you end up with 4 or 5, right? So you have to make some adjustments there. And you're still playing against other schools that got 12 kids on the roster, right? And you have that, and it's mental toughness playing against 4-year schools. So that was the college level. And then, you know, I took a situation here in Arizona. You know, it would let me know that my resume could be solid, but maybe not your style of coaching goes everywhere, right? And maybe not even necessarily the coaching. Maybe it could be the support part of it. It could be, you know, whether you got the support of staff, administration, or players or whatever. Like, everything has to click for everything to work. And it shows that I don't think Mark Jackson was the right place to take the Warriors where they are now. And it shows having a good relationship with your administration and being able to politically correct the same situation. It just fits that Steve Kerr was the right person for the job for the Warriors. And maybe as a coach, man, you're right. He carried them. He may have gaped them. Hell, I don't know. Even the school I just left as a high school coach, they may turn around and do really good this year, right? But that doesn't discredit the fact that I, you know, helped them learn how to play as a team. I talk to them, you know, respect, you know, or give them functions of how to play with each other, teach them different offensive, defensive schemes, talk to them how to move, how to maneuver, how to play with each other. I keep saying it because that was not happening before, you know, and let them get them an idea what a college coach would be looking at or what a college coach would be coaching. There's a couple players playing college this year from the school I was just at. He's probably saying, hey, Coach Woods is right. Because that's just how it was. And so, you know, you just have to be the right fit. And hopefully some other places. I don't think Frank Vogel is the right fit in the Lakers, but they're going to give him a shot. I don't necessarily think Ty Lue was the right fit with the Lakers. You know, if there's certain places, you got to be at the right places at the right time, right, for coaching. It's hard, especially when you think about sports and stuff like that. Okay. Man, so I don't really talk about football on a basketball podcast, right? But this Antonio Brown situation is really giving me a little eerie because, first and foremost, Antonio Brown had – I'm not going to go break down because it's not a football podcast, right? But it is still about sports, right? So Antonio Brown had a situation with the Steelers. Somehow he finagled his way out of Pittsburgh. He did it. I don't understand. If I was an NFL player and I had a chance to play for John Gruden, I don't see how any – John Gruden is a player's coach, all right? John Gruden is a cool – John Gruden is a legit player's coach. I can't see how anyone would have an issue playing for John Gruden. And I don't think he had an issue with John Gruden. But whatever situation, Antonio Brown just went off and started talking crazy to administration and whatever. And it was just a bad look. I mean, it's a point where these teams are ready to lose money to part ways with you. Right, they're like, yo, I know we invested $30 million in you. I don't care, man. We don't need the publicity. We don't need that energy. That's literally what's happening, right? So he gets let go, right? And then right when he gets let go, he has a situation, off the field, situation, some allegations, something like that. But even if I just like an innocent man speaks nothing, so I feel like if you're innocent. I just feel if you're innocent, you don't say nothing. You say nothing, right? You're just making it worse. But it was really kind of cool to see Antonio Brown playing with Tom Brady because guess what? New England's picked him up right, I think maybe 2 hours after the contract was over with. New England picks him up. He goes over to New England. He gets ready. I'm thinking he's about to play. And he still played against the Dolphins and has some really, really good catches. It looked like Tom Brady can – I think Tom Brady is the greatest NFL quarterback of all time. The man can play with anybody. He shows – they only probably had one week of reps, and he was marching down the field with Antonio Brown. And guess what happened today? Because Antonio Brown cannot keep his mouth shut, and I understand when you're innocent, you want to fight to prove it and stuff, but sometimes you just got to be quiet and let people that you pay to represent you talk. Because then this man gets caught saying something in a text thread with the alleged victim. I'll say alleged. And then, you know, he gets the victim's lawyer writes a letter to the NFL. The NFL decides, so New England decides to release him on player conduct. Because honestly, even if the allegations are false, which I would say 6 times out of 10, there are false, honestly. Statistically shows that. And it just shows that your conduct, which honestly, I mean, he told the owner of the team, the GM of the team, something very, very vulgar, which I would not say, but it was crazy. He called him this and threatened his life and threatened to beat him up. I don't know, Antonio Brown. If I had a donkey of the day, you would get donkey of the day. And honestly, truth, you're not a good representation of players in the NFL. And you need to go to – I think somebody need to pull some of that money away for you. You need to humble yourself a little bit because there are players out here that really – there are people out here that literally are living out of their cars, not even in their car. They don't have a car. There are people out here putting all their cents together to scrape up $200 to just be able to work out for an NFL team. Okay? You know, we could take the whole cap deal. Let's talk about the players who sacrifice everything all just to be on the practice team. All right? I mean, when you know these people, I know these athletes who literally want to do any, don't want to do anything but play on the NFL team. We literally give up. If they say, hey, give us all your blood, they would give up their blood just to play one game. One game. Then literally says, if doctor says, hey, we'll give you 5 years to live if you want to play. There are probably some guys who will literally live for 5 years. And Antonio Brown's out here acting like a, ooh, that's so disappointing. And I really hope it works out. But honestly, any of you pamper athletes are not understanding your blessing. You want to get paid your worth, that's fine. I know these industries and these business owners, all this stuff, they're making way more money than you. But you're making way more money than other people. And if you're not seeing your blessing, you're not understanding your blessing, then it should be taken away from you. I'm very upset with Antonio Brown. I'm very upset with any athlete who has a blessing to do what they want to do for a living. You know what, man? Look, in order for me to continue coaching college, I had to make so many sacrifices to be able to coach the sport I love, right? To even coach high school. So many sacrifices financially I had to make just to, so I can be able to coach and be a part of the sport I love, right? Not being able to go work a regular 9-to-5, right? Not being able to go on vacation, living at the bare minimum just to be able to, just so I can still command and coach and be a part of it. Something I would have did for free, okay? If literally someone says, hey, Deshaun, you want to coach college basketball, but you won't get paid for it, but we will make sure that you won't get in debt and you'll be able to live and you'll be able to eat and you'll be able to pay your car or your home or your mortgage, we'll take care of all that, I would do it. That's how much I would have done it. I'm a businessman now. But at that one point, I would have did anything to coach, just like people do anything to be players. Right. And people need to understand that there's a lot of, and that's why I say to some of these pamper athletes or these athletes that don't get it. There's some people out here would do anything to do what you're doing. And some people that may not even necessarily know the sacrifices and the struggles you may have, you know, being a part of the sport that you love as a coach or even as a player. But it's not really for them to get, it's for you to get. And it's for you to realize when you got to walk away, when you can stay in it long enough. That's really all to it. And at the end of the day, you got nobody to blame or be upset with because you made that sacrifice for yourself and your own life. You got no regrets. Right? So it's very, you know, Antonio Brown, I wish you well, man. I really wish that you turn it around somehow. Get behind this lie. If it's a lie, it really shows that you need to worry about your company you keep. And especially people making these type of allegations towards you as a man and as an athlete or whatever, you got to protect yourself as well as you got to make sure that you're not taking advantage of your position, right? Well, I'll make further judgment on that when more information comes out. You know, that's the biggest thing. I'm sitting here going through my phone right now. Sorry, you guys, to have a little TED Talks moment on the City of Coaches podcast. Let's see here. I was looking over something real quick on my phone. I'm going to play a little clip with me and Coach Gaines a little bit over at Southern State Community College. Just to change it a little bit. This is us talking about, just wait 1 second. I got you right here. Let's see here.
that, and they talk about, some may complain about certain players. Like, how do you deal with that interaction?
It's an interesting thing. Being so confident, I'm more of a, I'm reserved, but those who don't even know that I have some fire, I'm super competitive. So,
So at this moment in conversation with Coach Gaines, check out the vlog at Deshaun City of Coaches podcast on YouTube. Pretty much Coach Gaines, I asked Coach Gaines, how did he feel about, like, you know, obviously our generation played and coached. We start out coaching under other people's system or learning whatever it was. Like, whatever you learn from, you bring it to your next level. Why? Because you're familiar. You know how it works. So I was talking to Coach about how living in today's world with, like, jumpers and the mid-range shot not really being relevant. And how do you deal? Like, how do you appeal yourself to these kids who come out of school because they want to play this new style of playing? So Coach basically explaining, like, you have to learn to adjust as well. The fundamentals of the game never goes, but he's basically saying, like, you know, he has to make adjustments, and he definitely you'll see coming up right here where he says about his own education as well.
Been in the game, you know, had success in the game, and sometimes success is predicated on the guys that you might have had talent for, or the situation that the school might have, you know, put you in.
So Coach is saying that he actually advances his own education by going to certain clinics, like NBA coaching clinics or USA basketball clinics. I know personally, I'm sure he went to other clinics as well. I know he does a lot of work with like other coaches for camps and stuff during his off season. I think I did a couple with him when I was his assistant over at Southern State. So Coach is basically showing, like, how you're adapting as a coach. And that's a very exciting point to hold on to, the fact that the game's evolving and the players are evolving. And that's the most exciting thing about the game, is that we're all evolving. But some people get very stagnant and complacent, you know, in their own ways, right? And, you know, prior, before the coach was saying, like, he would hope to be a coach at a school for 30, 40 years and be one of them 6-year-olds. But I think he's more talking about just having a longevity of being somewhere. But they make adjustments as well, right? Duke was not a one-and-done school, not under Coach K. And then he started, I think this is his second one-and-done class. So, you know, Coach Gaines is basically covering that. I just wanted to get a snippet of everything. That's the exciting part. You know, Coach Gaines basically shows that in the game. I don't want to give too much of the interview up because it's a lot in that. So please check out City of Coaches podcast vlogs on YouTube. And if you do know me, you can go to the City of Coaches podcast Instagram, or you can go to Sean is Chilling Instagram. Both of the links to all of my content pages are in the bio. So please check that out. I'm sorry. Today probably got a little bit serious. But honestly, hopefully, if you listen all the way through, you'll get to Coach Gaines, me and his one-on-one. I'm excited to keep going. Please stay tuned for future episodes. The basketball season is around the corner. Preseason is around the corner. October's around the corner. So preseason is around the corner. And we'll have more content to talk about. Colleges are in practice right now. I'm doing a lot of traveling right now. So, you know, I'm excited to still be part of the game, just not on the sideline. And that is it. Talk to y'all soon. Thank you.